In class, we were playing lacrosse. Have you ever played lacrosse? Okay, I was very athletic in high school. I know that's hard to believe by looking at me now, but I was. I was very athletic, and I was much, much thinner, and I was very fast. And no joke, I really was. I was very fast. I made it do all Ontario's three times in high school for track. So, yeah, it's shocking, right? But I was quick. And so one time we're playing lacrosse, and you know, it's like shirts against skins type of thing, right? It's just a male class. And so I get the ball, obviously. I didn't really need to clarify that, did I? we're off to a great start. Anyways, you know, and I get the ball and I scoop it up and I'm holding it and I start running. And this a guy that from the class that I didn't know very well, I'm a lot faster than he is. And in order to stop me, he just grabs my stick like this. He gets my arm and my stick, and then he just crumples to the ground to stop me. And so I'm pulling at it and I'm getting, you know, upset because he's. I'm like, that's cheating. And so finally, I did this with the stick really hard, and it hit him in the face. Now, this guy was like half a foot taller than me and about 30 pounds heavier. And all of a sudden, he let it go, and he began to stand up, and he turned around, and he was angry. And I thought, oh, I'm a dead man. I really did. Like, I thought, I am so dead. And then all of a sudden, he went, and he spit out a tooth. Yeah. And for some reason, that just made, that to him was just really humorous. And he started to laugh. He couldn't believe that I'd knocked one of his teeth out. And it was like the front tooth, too. And he just started to laugh. And I'm standing there thinking, once you realize, I am so dead. I'm so dead. And then he reached out and he actually hugged me. I was like, okay, you're just going to squeeze me to death, I guess. And it was all fine. And then, you know, honestly, that was like maybe grade 10. And for the rest of high school, that guy was my buddy. Yeah, right? The strangest things that bring people together. And but here's the thing. In that moment, I had this incredible sense of fear, right? And you'd be like, well, you should have. Yeah, I understand. Sometimes that kind of fear makes sense. But here's the question that I have for you this morning. Have you ever found yourself in a situation, maybe not like that one, but in a situation where you have a sense of fear towards people, where you're unsure about what you should say or do? You have the sense, the inner sense of, oh, I'm so in trouble here, or the potential is there for finding something to be very difficult. Here's what I mean. Have you ever been afraid to have a difficult conversation with somebody? Somebody that you know and trust and maybe love, that you know you have to have a difficult conversation, but you feel fearful about it. And so you react, lots of times you react to that in very funny ways. Have you ever felt afraid to ask someone to forgive you? It's quiet in here, so I'm going to guess that's a yes. You've maybe been, you know, had a sense of fear about inviting somebody to come to church with you or sharing your faith. Who hasn't felt that sense, right? The hesitation, the fear, the thought of, well, what if they don't like it? What if they, you know, what if they are angry at me? What if they reject what I'm going to say? And we have all these thoughts that go through our head that often prevent us, that keep us from doing the things that we want to do or maybe even know that we should do. And sometimes in fear, we react, right, with anger or aggression towards the person that we're fearful of, which is not a good way for us to live. Have you ever experienced a time where maybe you're out somewhere, you're grocery shopping, or you're at something social, and you have the sense of God telling you to go talk to somebody or pray for somebody or do something for them, right? You feel like, I'm supposed to, whatever, like you bless that person somehow. pray for them, give them a hug, be kind to them, maybe give them something. I don't know. There's all kinds of ways that God prompts us, right? And you have that sense, but in that moment, fear will often rise up within you. And what it's trying to do is prevent you from doing the thing that you have, the thing that you feel God's asking you to do. Now, you know, when you stop and consider that, that if it is God, like, you know, and I believe that it most often is, if God is leading you in that direction, and he's prompting you to do something, fear, well, it may be a part of the experience, fear is not meant to be the thing that controls us. If God's asking you to do something, why would we be fearful of the thing he's asking us to do? It doesn't, and in that, it doesn't mean the complete absence of fear as you step into it. You've probably also experienced the time where you have set out to do the thing that God, you feel God's telling you to do, and you feel nervous and fearful as you're doing it, but then as things begin to progress, you begin to realize that, okay, I'm actually going to be okay, no matter what happens. But yet, it's the unknown that often drives fear in us. So you may have had mixed results in trying to do things for God. You may have had things go well, or maybe things not go so well. And what I'm here to tell you is that the result isn't actually what we should base the next experience or encounter on, what you experience now. God is just looking for us to be faithful in doing what he's asked us to do. And many times we want to base it on what has happened in the past. Proverbs 29 and 25 says, fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting the Lord means safety. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. Have you noticed in our culture, like in our Canadian society, very, very much the fear is what's used to control, to intimidate people of all kinds, right? But people of faith, people that think differently than we do, like fear and control, intimidation is often what's used to get people to do what we want. This has been true throughout the history of the church, but it isn't how the kingdom of God actually works. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. Whenever we let another person's actions, attitudes, or opinions prevent us from living fully for God, we're going to be trapped in fear. And that fear has negative effects on our life. That fear can intimidate us because it can allow another person to control us. That fear robs us of peace and joy. The enemy, Satan, actually wants you to live in fear. Fear is his currency. Fear is his solution in your life. Fear is his solution. Right? God offers faith and confidence and trust and hope. Fear is Satan's solution in your life, meaning you should run away, you should hide, or, right, you should become aggressive and control that person. Fear is his solution in our life. Now, fear has many other effects in our life, and we're going to look at some from Scripture. So fear actually creates a lack of love in our life, or it comes from a lack of love. It creates it, comes from it, right? Scripture says in 1 John 4:18 that perfect love expels all fear. So whenever we have fear, what's happening in us is a lack of love, first and foremost. Fear creates a loss of identity in our life. So you can see there, right? Isaiah 43:1, do not be afraid, for I've ransomed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. You're mine. You belong to God. So in knowing that you belong to him and him alone, right? And of course, Romans 8:15, it talks about that we're adopted. We are his own children. We're not fearful slaves. We're his. And so when you know that you're his, that he would say to you, you're mine. then fear, right, which is not a part of his kingdom, isn't ever meant to rule us. Now, and what that provides for us is freedom from fear and the ability to do what he wants us to do, to live fully for him. There's more to this. Fear makes us feel weak many times. Right? So in the moment, consider it. Like if you've been in that moment where you know God's asking you to do something, to serve somebody, to love somebody, to do something for somebody, and fear comes in, and the internal experience many times is a feeling of weakness. What do you think? I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if God will come through for me. I don't know if I'm smart enough, good enough. Right? It's a sense of weakness. Fear creates weakness in our life. Fear causes us to have a troubled heart, to feel anxious, churned up on the inside. So it's an unpleasant feeling, right? And when we feel anxious, when we have a troubled heart, we go looking for something that brings us peace. Now, this is why fear is a trap, like fear of people is a trap to us, because if you find yourself right in that place of a troubled heart and you go looking for peace, the thing is, like, you know, okay, well, God is meant to be my peace, but he's the one that's asking me to do this thing that I don't want to do. So you're going to go looking somewhere else, right? And Satan has always, your flesh and the enemy always has an answer for you. Which, of course, is ungodly and sinful. A thing that he says will bring you peace and, of course, just usually brings you more trouble. And fear, right, brings confusion into our mind. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Have you noticed that lots of times fear will make you feel uncertain, confused about what you should do? So fear will get in the way and prevent you from being the person that God wants you to be, to live fully for him, that God has created you to be, from loving and serving others the way that Jesus would want you to. Now, the Apostle Paul certainly was a guy that showed a lot of boldness, a lot of courage, a lot of faith throughout his ministry. And in Galatians 1:10, he writes this. He says, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. These are good words for us to live by. It's just very difficult, if not impossible, right, to please people and to serve Jesus at the same time. Now, Paul isn't saying, hey, make it your goal to upset and make everybody else angry at you. That's not what he's saying. So there are certain personalities that's what you're hoping he's saying. Hey, I can just be a jerk whenever I want, make people upset with me, and that's okay because I can't please both people and God. But the fact is, that's not what he's saying. He's just simply saying, you should expect this. Knowing God and living for God is one of the best, most rewarding things that you can do with your life, but you will experience conflict. You'll experience conflict in serving God. Not everyone's going to be pleased with your decisions to live for God. Now, God knows this, and he's provided some things to prepare us for that conflict, for that confrontation that we will experience, to have so that we can have confidence, faith in him. We can stand firm in who we are in him. So Psalm 124 and 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So God is the source of our help when we're experiencing fear towards people. 1 John 4 says, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels fear. If we are afraid It's for the fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. And we love each other because he first loved us. Sometimes, even here, right, in a church family, we can be fearful of one another. Fearful to, I said, to have difficult conversations or to serve one another in ways that God is calling us to or asking us to. And that fear is driven by, primarily by a lack of love. See, God is love, says right there, 1 John. And so connecting to the life-changing love of Jesus is the first and most important thing in setting us free from the fear of people. God is love, and his perfect love expels fear from our life. It drives it out. His love is perfect. His love is perfect. And what that means for you here this morning is that you are perfectly loved. If his love is perfect and he loves you, then you are perfectly loved. Now, how do we often evaluate love, right? We evaluate it by our own perception of our worth, don't we? Right? I've done good this week, so I deserve to be more loved. I've done bad this week, so boy, I got to make it up so that God can love me again. No, it just doesn't. God is love, and he is perfect. You are perfectly loved, even in your fear, even in your hang-ups and your issues. You are perfectly, completely, wholly loved. There is nothing you can do to make him love you more than he does right now. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you less than he does right now. You are perfectly, wholly, completely loved. And what that's supposed to do is set us free from fear. It drives fear out of our lives so that we can have our confidence, our faith in him, that no matter what happens to us, he loves us and he'll take care of us. You see, he's not waiting for you to get it right so that he can love you more, to make you more acceptable, right? He just loves you. He loves you, and in loving you, it's about setting you free from all the negative effects of fear that we just listed. And I'm sure there's more, but it's about setting you free from those negative effects so that you can live fully for him. You know, we've been in this series, Getting Over Yourself, for quite a while, right? Some of you are like, is it ever going to end? Here's why we're in this series for so long. Because this is the picture, the vision that I have. We reach a point where we're not fearful of people. We're not fearful of what the world is doing, how they're acting, but we're just filled with the love of God. And that love motivates us and pushes us outside of these walls to reach our community that's hurt and lost and needs Jesus. See, here's the thing. I say that a lot, don't I, that expression? Here's the thing. I just realized because my wife was making fun of me yesterday about it. Sorry. rabbit trail. Here's the thing. When we know that we're loved, when our identity, we're going to talk just a bit more about identity in a minute, when our identity is in him, in the fact that we're loved, we can look at people who maybe are scary to us. Right, where you think, well, I don't know what they're going to say, what they're going to do, how they're going to act or react. If I tell them about Jesus, then their opinion of me might change. It's fear. You tell them about Jesus, and they might just go, oh, I have been waiting for somebody to tell me about Jesus. Especially when we come at it based in love. The love of God changes us. It changes people. We are created to be loved and to live in love. And so when you approach somebody, a difficult conversation, or somebody that you need to ask for forgiveness, or you feel like God is telling you to go and do something for somebody that is to introduce them to Christ. If when you go with the sense of love, it will set you free from fear, because your only goal is to love them. Your only goal is to connect them to the life-changing love of God. It isn't to control them. It's not to convince them. It's just to love them. And so this is why we're in this series so long, to be honest. Because my goal is that we become a church that is very focused outward towards our city. There's 35, 37,000 people here. Most of them don't know Jesus. And they need us. They need us. I'm not saying that to put guilt on you. I'm actually trying to inspire you that God has things for you to do and to say and to be, to demonstrate his love towards our world. See, the absence of fear allows us to love like God does, without the need to control or manipulate or force someone else to be the way that we want them to be, so that we feel safe loving them. This is what we've done historically. It's just what humanity does. We force people to be the way that we want them to be, so we feel safe loving them. It's a good thing God didn't do that to us, right? Because while we were still sinners, while we were God's worst enemies, he loved us so much that he gave his son for us, demonstrating how much he loves us. See, knowing and experiencing the love of God changes you. Not living in fear of what other people are going to do or say or do to you is a good change in your life. It will allow you to love them like Jesus. What sets you free from that is the encounter of God's love in your life. When you feel fearful, it's a lack of love in your life. We all have fears. We all have hang-ups. And what's happening there is a lack of love. So now, another way that God helps us be free from the fear of people is when we guard our heart and mind. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." What you think and feel about yourself and others leads your life in that direction. What you think and feel about yourself and others leads your life in that direction, right? Guard your heart. It determines the course of your life. If you don't believe that you are worth treating with respect and honor and love, then you will struggle to treat others that way as well. It's driven by fear. And here's one of the things that I've discovered, that when it's driven by fear, it tends to have these polar effects in our life. Here's what I mean by that. So we don't feel like we're worthy of being treated with respect or honor, or we're not worth being loved. And that works out of us in one of two ways, because it's driven by fear. Here's the two polar opposites. The one is based, because fear often leads to anger. And so the one is based in intimidation and the anger to try and control the other person. Because then you think, well, I don't feel like I can control myself. I don't feel like I'm worth it. And so if I can just get control of you, then I won't have the same challenge to love you like I'm supposed to. That's the one polar extreme. The other one is the exact opposite of that, where you are fearful of everyone and every situation. And so you are just intimidated by any person that you think might disagree with you. And so you don't ever share the truth. You don't ever love them the way that Jesus would want you to, because you're intimidated by them. You see, What we allow into our heart and mind determines the course of our life. So what we think and feel about ourselves and about others leads our life in that direction. And so whenever we have fear, we're experiencing a lack of love. And this is why the most important aspect of not fearing people is knowing and encountering the love of God. Because your identity is in being loved. Your identity is in being loved. It's just who you are because it's who God is. God is love, and you're made in his image, his likeness. Your identity is in being loved, and his love frees us from fear. Now, if you know someone that is living in one of these polar opposites, if you know somebody that the way that fear often causes them to be aggressive or intimidating, or if you know somebody that their fear causes them to be really passive and intimidated by others, here's the thing that, and maybe that's you here this morning. If you know somebody, or if you are that person, the thing is that this is a spirit at work in your life. There is a spirit of fear. And it's operating in your life. And so if you know somebody that's living this way, what you can begin to do is to pray for them. You begin to pray that they would first and foremost experience and encounter the life-changing love of Jesus. And secondly, that they would be delivered from the spirit of fear, because this is what Jesus does. He delivers and rescues people. And as they're set free, their life will be changed. A little bit more about this, in terms of guarding your heart, because it determines the course of your life. A part of guarding your heart is the understanding that you and only you are in control of what's happening in your heart and mind. You and only you are in charge of what's happening in here. Other people can influence you, absolutely. They can, you've probably noticed throughout your life that other people can help or hinder you, right? But you still choose what happens in here, in your head and heart. God can influence you, absolutely, right? He can speak to you through another person. He can speak to you through scripture. He can speak to you just by his spirit. God can influence you, but you still have to choose to listen and obey, right? Nobody's in control of you, but you. What that means is that you're not in control of anybody else. You are not actually in control of anyone else. Control is an illusion that the enemy wants to project onto us and then onto others. You can't control anybody else. Anybody that's ever had kids knows very quickly that you can't control another human being as much as you might try. Right? They're 6 months old and you're like, please go to sleep. And they just don't. Right? You can't control another person. They're in charge of them and you're in charge of you. And so in that, you are only responsible for what's going on in your head and heart. And they are responsible for what's going on in their head and heart. There's a difference between being responsible for and being responsible to. See, we are responsible to love our world, to be like Jesus to them. But you're only responsible for what's going on in your head and heart. You cannot control someone else, and you shouldn't try, nor can anyone else control you, nor should they try. God actually encourages self-control. And so what that does, and it sets us free from fear, because you can focus then on your true identity, which is someone who is perfectly loved by God. And what that, and then in that, you can view others the same way. Because if you're perfectly loved, so is the person that you're fearful of. Or that you want to intimidate. They also are perfectly loved. And so, if someone is behaving in a way that they shouldn't, and your motivation is just to connect them with that life-changing love of Jesus instead of correcting or controlling them, then a lot of the fear is removed from the interaction because it's based in love. One time, I was a youth pastor in a church in Chatham, and I was actually at a funeral in the church, and I was sitting with another pastor, and a lady from the church came in, and she sat beside me, and she had a son in the youth group who his dad had kind of disappeared in his life. And he had really taken me as a father figure, and I really liked this young man. And we connected, and we spent time together, and I tried to just be a father figure to him. And now he was a little bit wild at times. And so his mom came, and she sat down beside me at a funeral, and I said hi to her, and she said hi to me, and I asked her how she was doing, and she said fine. And then she leans over, and she says to me, "If you ever lead my boy in the wrong direction, I'm going to come after you." No joke. At a funeral. Right? And so I just sat and I smiled. And now this lady was a believer. And she knew that I loved her boy. And so I looked at her and I said her name and I said, "Do you think Jesus would talk to me like you just did?" And I didn't say anything else. And I just waited. In a couple minutes, she started to cry. And she said, "No, Jesus wouldn't talk to you like that. I'm just so scared for my son." I said, "Yeah, I know." See, it was fear. I said, "I understand." I said, "I love your boy and I love you. So I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that he knows Jesus." He did know Jesus, but you know, she was worried he was going to stray off. So I'll do everything I can. And then I prayed for her, and she hugged me. She said, "Thank you." See, if I'd let her intimidate me or bring fear to me, I could have done one of two things. I could have either just shrunk down, or I could have become aggressive. The issue for her, I could recognize the issue was fear. It's a lack of love in her life. She was, and so when I told her, I love you, I love your son, it just began to set her free from fear. See, I'm in control of me, and you're in control of you. How people act or react is not your responsibility. You only are in control of you. So here's the thing. Pay attention and guard your thoughts and feelings about yourself and others. Consistently redirect them to be based in love, in the love of God. And it will guard your heart from fear. Now, finally this morning, the last way that God prepares us for conflict and confrontation that we'll experience is to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is love, and it will push fear out of our life. It will replace it with boldness and joy. You know, after Jesus rose from the dead, right, and he heads back to heaven, the Holy Spirit comes and fills all the believers on the day of Pentecost. And with that infilling came boldness. Peter, who had just weeks before denied even knowing Jesus, stands up and addresses a large crowd and tells them that Jesus is the only way you can be saved. There's a boldness that comes, a power that comes by the Spirit of God and being filled by the Spirit. And that is a daily pursuit, to be filled with the Spirit of God, to open your head, your heart, right? Guarding your heart. A part of guarding your heart is allowing the Spirit of God to influence you. Now, in the book of Acts, right, which is the actions of the early church, Paul and Barnabas are in Antioch, and things are going really well for them until they weren't going very well for them. They were speaking with a lot of boldness, and then it says this. It says, "The Jews stirred up the influential religious women and leaders of the city, and they incited a mob against Paul and Barnabas and ran them out of town. So they shook the dust from their feet as a sign of rejection and went to the town of Iconium. And the believers were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. See, with the Spirit of God, it's possible to be filled with joy even after an angry mob runs you out of town. Because our joy shouldn't be based upon the opinions or actions of others. Our joy is based in the presence of God in our life, with His Spirit filling us new and fresh every day. Position yourself daily. I would encourage you at the start of your day, position yourself. Just say, Father, fill me today with your Spirit. As I go about what I'm doing, may I hear what your Spirit's saying to me. May I have ears that hear it, eyes that see it. Fill me new and fresh today. Fill me to overflowing, because that's actually what it means. It's not just filled to the top. It's filled to where it overflows from our life. And Lord, may your Spirit flow out of me into the lives of others. Because we're loved, and we're loved perfectly, He freely offers His Spirit to each and every one of us. See, it doesn't matter your gender, your age. It doesn't matter your background, right? Joel chapter 2 says, I will pour out my Spirit on everyone. All flesh. Everybody. So it doesn't matter your gender, your age, your background. He offers Himself to you today. And what He asks is for you to offer yourself in return. And when He pours Himself out into your life, He brings boldness and joy. God wants each and every one of us here to be free from the fear of people, so that we can live fully in the love that He has for us. And then we can share that love with others to become a conduit through which others experience His love. So this is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pray. Going to pray for each of you to first encounter the perfect love of God, to be filled with the Spirit. And so as we pray, I actually believe God's going to show you someone who this week He wants you to demonstrate His love to. He might give you a name, He might give you a picture of a person's face, He might just give you a hint. He might show you a color or a place you're supposed to go. God talks in all different kinds of ways, but just be open, I guess. Just, you might think, well, that's strange. He told me to go to Tim Hortons, and I would say amen to that. But wherever, you know, God maybe tells you to go somewhere, and you go there and just wait and listen to be filled by and directed by His Spirit. So let's pray this morning. Thank you, Lord. So where you are, I'm going to invite you. Begin to turn your head and your heart towards Jesus, right? You are in charge of you. And so you might have a lot of other things going on. You know, you might have a sense of fear, or maybe there's other things driving or pushing you this morning to just take those and bring them to Jesus right now. Settle them with Him. Just say, Lord, I'm going to leave this stuff with you. Leave my fears with you. You can even ask Him the question. Say, Lord, do you love me? Jesus, do you love me? Wait. Hear what He has to say. Father, I pray right now for each and every one of us that, Lord, we would know and encounter your perfect love, that we would be changed by your Spirit. Changed by your love, oh God. Fill us new and fresh with your Spirit today, oh God. May we live in a place of boldness and joy. God, may you set us free completely, wholly from fear. Lord, I speak right now to the spirit of fear. You're not allowed in this place. You're not allowed in God's people. In Jesus' name. We belong to Him. We are His. If you're here today, right, and for you, you have a sense of being worthless, of not being worth love, worthy of love. I feel like God wants to speak directly to you today. He wants to speak to your heart, to talk to you about who you are, that you're His, that He loves you, that He paid a price for you. So, Lord, I pray right now for those that are struggling with their worth, that you set them free right now in Jesus' name. God, may you help us. May you teach us, Lord, how to live free of fear, to live fully, wholly for you and you alone. Pray this, Jesus, in your beautiful name. Amen.